This is Rodney from the Masculine Journey podcast, where we explore manhood within Jesus Christ. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Sit back, enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Oh, wow. Are we going to have fun today on Kingdom Pursuits? First up, we have Mary Holloman with the Pregnancy Network. The Pregnancy Network is doing an amazing work to empower young moms to choose life. And their goal this season really is to raise $50,000 in 2 weeks. So if they can get 500 people to give $100, wow, right? This can empower 42 moms. So welcome, Mary. So glad to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah, you were on with me a few weeks ago when we were doing that campaign, but this time of year is a great time, right, to be thinking about moms, as we've been talking about Mary
exactly.
In the last show for quite a while, you know? So, you know, that it's a beautiful, beautiful thing that we can take part in saving a life, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, and as you mentioned, you know, this time of year we're talking about the birth of Christ, and you know, Mary was an unwed mother. She was a teenager, and it was most definitely an unplanned pregnancy. And so I think this is the perfect time to be thinking about women who are in that exact same spot, and they're just experiencing a lot of fear. So we have the opportunity to help empower them to embrace their pregnancy and face it without fear and to move forward fully empowered.
That's wonderful. So we're going to be talking a lot about that. Some neat stories. Mary has some beautiful, beautiful stories of folks that have been there with the Pregnancy Network. But next up, we have Parker Bradley. Now, a good friend of mine, Mark Varner, who's with me on the Masculine Journey. You might have heard him a few weeks ago with us. But Parker is the author of The 12, and I think you're going to love this. So when I say The 12, I'm betting you're thinking another 12. But this is a transformational journey through the 12 minor prophets. So how cool, Parker, you picked a different 12.
It is. It's funny. I showed the title to someone, and he instantly went in his room and brought out a comic book called The 12, and it was about the disciples. So I had an upward journey from the very beginning on that title.
But that's the neat thing about it, is it catches you like, oh, The 12. No, different 12. Oh, cool. And so we're going to get to hear all sorts of cool stuff about the minor prophets today with Parker. But you might know it's Kingdom Pursuits, and I didn't get to do a riddle last week. So, you know, speaking of 12, Beth Ann, I have assembled 12 COVID carols, especially for you.
Oh, I look forward to all 12, Robbie.
I created this exhaustive list. So, number one. Away, away in a socially distanced manger.
That was good.
You're going to like this one even better, maybe. The first, no smells.
Oh, yes. Sadly, we can't smell or taste.
Outstanding.
Disinfect the halls with bowls of Lysol. That's for the boss lady, Anita Dean. If you ever come into the Truth Network, smell the bowels of Lysol all over the place. So, hark the heralds through a mask. This is actually my favorite on the list.
Uh-oh.
If you're an elf lover, you're going to love this particular one. Baby, it's COVID outside.
Baby, it is COVID outside. Robbie.
Yeah.
Hi, Mark.
That's yeah.
You should do these every other week. We appreciate them more.
Really? Maybe I should save the next six for next week. I think I will. So I'll just get right to the actual riddle.
Oh, you're going to get to the
actual
riddle.
So I'm going to save the rest of this list for later, and we'll get it next week since it's so much fun.
Something to look forward to.
The other six, yeah. So which Christmas carol would you say the Pregnancy Network would most likely use for their campaign? Which Christmas carol would the Pregnancy Network most likely use for their campaign? And if you've got that, which, by the way, you know there's no wrong answers, mm-hmm. you just call in. Beth Ann, we have one very special gift, so share.
All your choice is what the card says of the Pregnancy Network mug, a long-sleeve TPN, the Pregnancy Network T-shirt, and one TPN blanket, keeping you warm.
Oh, my goodness. All you have to do is call in and tell us what you think would be an appropriate carol for the Pregnancy Network this time of year. 866-348-7884. Do you think you know, Beth Ann?
A little child of Bethlehem.
866-348-7884. You just call in. And wow, the lines are just lit up right away. Because apparently, Mary, they're wanting this. So maybe you can describe our prizes better, you know, because you've actually seen them.
Oh, sure. I use all three all the time. It's this really nice mug that says the Pregnancy Network and a nice long sleeve blue T-shirt with our logo on the front. And then the blanket is perfect for this time of year. Just so nice and warm, and it has the TPN logo right on there. So they're great choices.
That sounds like it. And, you know, they're great conversation starters, right? So
exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, you're out there and, you know, it's a beautiful thing to be able to share what God's doing, you know, through this ministry. Well, just almost lightning fast, Beth Ann, we have somebody that has an answer for us. So we got Scott Barton is in, I think, Winston-Salem. So, Scott, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning, Robbie.
Are you having fun?
I am.
Good.
We had a nice men's breakfast this morning.
Good.
So that was good.
So.
Yeah, I'll take a stab at it.
All right. Stab away, but not at the baby, just at the.
I'm not even sure of the name of this song, but it's that one that goes, Mary, did you know?
Oh, I think it's called Mary, Did You Know?
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll go
that's
that.
Absolutely fantastic. Yes. What is his name? Mark that sang that song originally from the Gaithers. I'm trying to think of his name. I saw him live do it one time. It's unbelievable.
It's a beautiful song.
Yes, it really is. So, Scott, you are a winner. Thank you. I appreciate
cool.
it. So you're going to be
all
sporting
right.
this blue long-sleeve T-shirt, I imagine. So I'm going to put you back on hold
right.
so
that
Ann can get your pick. And we'll go back on with the show. Thanks for calling, Scott. God bless.
Thank you so much, Robbie. Love your show.
Thank you. So, Parker, like jumping in, you know, these 12 prophets, I'm just curious, you know, how did God put it on your heart to write this particular book? Were you just like making a connection between the 12 or the individual stories?
Well, I've really just seen how conversations and as a Bible study teacher at church, how just kind of going through these books has had a powerful impact on me, certainly, but anyone that I think has really spent time with them, they just have a completely different perspective, I think, on how to really view, I'm just going to say, just the love of God. The love of God is so intense and so fierce. And it was just a powerful thing for me to go through and read them and really unpack and discover the love of God in all of them. A lot of people are afraid of the minor prophets because they can be a stormy bunch.
they are.
They say kind of, they just speak very differently than we would normally. One thing that I say on the website is, these might not be the guys you'd bring to a party, but they just might save your life, you know?
So, well, the thing I thought you should put on your website myself, you know, just with my sense of humor, I think this book majors in the minors, you know?
There you go.
So, we have got so much more majoring on the minors coming up, as well as stories through the Pregnancy Network and how God is working through them. Of course, all this stuff is at kingdompursuits.com. You can go give to the campaign that Mary's talking about. It. Just click on the link at Kingdom Pursuits. Or get Parker's book. It's right there, The 12.
At Christmas time, the question often comes up as to how Jesus got his name. First, Jesus is the Greek form of the fairly common Jewish name, Joshua. At least five different Joshuas are mentioned in the Old Testament, so it was widely used. From the perspective of name alone, Jesus' name was very common. But there was more to the name Joshua or Jesus than its popularity. It actually meant the Lord saves. At that first Christmas, both Mary and Joseph were told by God to name Mary's child Jesus, and Joseph was given the reason, because he would save his people from their sins. In that sense, Jesus is a name like no other. This is David Jeremiah, and that is the Christmas story on Route 66.
Driving the word home this Christmas on Route 66. Log on to Route66Life.com and start your journey home today.
This is a Love Language Minute. Here's Dr. Gary Chapman on not being able to be with those you love during the holidays.
There's so many emotions at Christmas, you know, when you're together, and it's just so many positive emotions. And when you're apart, it can be pretty deep, you know, the pain can be pretty deep. First of all, talk about the person who is not there. With the people you are with, extended family, other friends, people that you're with, whether they're dead or whether they're in the military or where, whatever the situation, talk about them. Don't simply ignore them. This is really one of the positive steps to take when we're going through grief. One of the ways we work through the pain of that is to talk about the person. Bring back memories and just talk with your friends about that person and let them tell you things they remember about that person or things they appreciate about that person. So don't try to ignore it, is what I'm saying, but talk about the person.
For more, go to 5lovelanguages.com.
What does it take to live an uncommon life? Here's former Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy with today's uncommon moment.
Woody Allen is quoted as saying, 80% of success in life is just showing up. Some of the best times with family are unplanned, the times when you're just present, when you show up. When I was coaching, too often the demands of my job stole time from my family. Sometimes it was unavoidable, other times I simply scheduled too much of my time at work. But as time passed and the children got older, I changed. Do you need to change? Spend time with your family and loved ones, for no reason at all but to be there. You'll witness miracles you might otherwise miss forever.
New York Times best-selling author Tony Dungy, author of the popular Uncommon book series. More at CoachDungy.com. That's CoachDungy.com.
Oh, welcome back to Kingdom Croissants, where we help you solve your hunger for the Bible. Since I renamed my show there at the end of the last break. But anyway, I have to start off with an apology. I feel kind of, well, I actually feel really bad that this was misunderstood. In the last week's show, we were talking about to mask or not to mask, and I made a statement that upset some listeners, and I feel really bad about it. And so I just want to, first of all, apologize, but also explain myself a little bit. I had said that if I listened to Rush Limbaugh for more than 30 minutes, it sucks the life out of me. Now, I did not mean that Rush Limbaugh sucked the life out of me. I mean, I know that he is more than a gifted talk show host, and he brings so much to, you know, to the world entertainment. From my point of view, he brings tons and tons and tons of truth. But for my soul, okay, this is me, I can only take so much of the evil of the world before I want to crawl in a hole somewhere. You know, I because he does go into all the stuff that people are doing out there that is quite horrific. And if I listen to that for any length of time,
it hurts your heart.
It hurts my heart. Yeah. And so, you know, I switch over to my Bible app or something and listen.
Renewing your mind, Robbie. Renewing your mind.
Yeah. So, again, I apologize because I in no means wanted to because by all means, the man is phenomenally gifted, and you know he's number one talk show host in America for a reason. I wasn't saying that way. I was actually talking about, you know, my own need to get less of the world and more of Jesus, whatever that may look like. So, moving back to our guest today, we have Mary Holloman with the Pregnancy Network, and the Pregnancy Network is out to raise $50,000 in 2 weeks, right? So if 500 people give $100, there we go. 42 moms. That pays to get 42 moms, we hope, with 42 babies. You know, what an opportunity we have to do that. And we have Parker Bradley, the author of The 12, A Transformational Journey Through the Minor Prophets. And so I'm really excited to hear more about that. But moving back to Mary, can you share with us a little bit of something that you may have seen recently that God's done that just kind of wowed you this year?
Sure, I'd love to. And just to give a little background for any listeners who aren't familiar with the Pregnancy Network, what we do is we seek to provide support to women in basically three ways. First, we offer free medical services, so those free pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, STD testing and treatment. Then we also offer free classes on pregnancy and parenting and abortion recovery, as well as some practical community resources. And then thirdly, we offer a mentorship program because our belief is that if we can connect a woman with someone in a local church and she can have a long-term healthy support network, that's going to help support her, not just during, but also after and beyond her pregnancy. So that's what we're doing when we're offering our services. We're seeking to empower those women to face their unplanned pregnancy without fear. But a recent story, it's actually really encouraging, and if you want to go watch this woman tell her own story, you can actually go to our website to see it. But there was a woman who came to us this year, and her name is Royal. And when she first came to us, her exact words were, "There is no way they, the Pregnancy Network, will convince me to not have an abortion. I'm getting this abortion." And the reason was because, well, a lot of reasons. One, COVID, there was a lot of fear, you know, surrounding this global pandemic we're in and, you know, being pregnant during a pandemic. And then also the father did not want to be involved. There were just a lot of circumstances that made her feel like she had no choice but an abortion. But she had a friend who told her, "Hey, I've been to the Pregnancy Network. Just go check it out. Just go. They can give you a free ultrasound. They're nice people. What's it going to hurt?" And so Royal was like, "You know, I need an ultrasound anyway. If I'm going to get an abortion, I'll go, fine. But they're not going to change my mind." And the really neat thing is that in our appointments, if women allow us to, we get the opportunity to share the gospel message with them. And so when she came in for her pregnancy test, she met with one of our registered nurses. Her name is Lauren. And Lauren, with Royal's permission, shared the gospel message about the value of life, not just this unborn life, but Royal's life as well, and about how Christ came to save and to set her free. And it resonated with Royal so much that she just broke down right there in the appointment. And she received an ultrasound that day, saw the heartbeat, saw the life growing inside of her. And she told Lauren, "There's no way that I can get an abortion now," which was just a complete 180 from, you know, maybe an hour earlier when she was so convinced she needed an abortion. And the neat thing about it is she continued her relationship with our nurse and came back for some more ultrasounds and some more support. And we actually were able to receive some pictures earlier last month. On November 2nd, her baby girl was born. And so that was just a really neat way from the beginning of the year until up to now, how we were able to see a woman empowered to face a scary situation, but to do it in a way that is supported and also fearless.
Wow, that's absolutely beautiful. Again, they're out to do this more and more and more in 2020 as they are expanding their network into new communities. And so you can be part of that by going to Kingdom Pursuits or obviously the Pregnancy Network. And you can see Royal's story for yourself. But the idea obviously is they're trying to raise $50,000 in 2 weeks as they come into this part of the year. But as I was listening to that, Parker, I couldn't help but note that some of the minor prophets dealt with some of those issues, right? I can think of at least one, anyway.
Yes, absolutely.
And so I thought you might take a swing at this one.
Well, one thing that I will say is doing what Mary's doing takes guts. And yeah. So I really applaud her and the work there. But yeah, they're just there are many minor prophets that speak about the value of life. And one thing that they really focus on as much as justice is they focus on injustice and the damage that it does to culture, to people, and can do even in the church. And you know, one thing that that just came to mind was in Habakkuk, one of my favorites. But in chapter 3, Habakkuk's able to respond in a powerful way to some very strong words from God. Habakkuk opened the book by pointing out all the bad things that were going on in culture and say, you know, hey, God, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Because this doesn't look so great. Are you going to do anything about it? And God trusted that man enough to give him a hard answer to a hard question. And the hard answer was, yes, I'm going to do something about it, and it's going to be harder for you than you can possibly imagine in the days to come. And okay.
Get ready.
Great. Yeah, you want to know, I'll tell you. But the amazing thing is that Habakkuk was able to lean on God's character, knowing that God was going to be God in any and every situation, in his goodness and in his judgment, in his blessing and in his wrath. His character is reliable the whole way through. So chapter 3 ends with a beautiful psalm of praise to God. Even though he was staring right into the face of intense hardship in the days ahead. And that is the kind of spirit that I think that the minor prophets really impart to the believer, because they lift our eyes above the rubble and the noise and the brokenness of culture to see a God who is at work in the midst of all of it. As a matter of fact, that's what Habakkuk ends on in 3, in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. In the midst of the years, make us live. Sustain us. Give us life. It's hard. In the midst of the years, give us understanding. There's a lot of questions. I need understanding from you, God, if I'm going to make it. He prays for life. He prays for understanding. And he says, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. And when you look at wrath, it can be translated in times of trembling. When the times make me tremble, always remember your mercy to me. Those are the three things that he prayed for, and those are the three things I think we really need today.
Oh, wow. You could say that again. And when you think about it, in their day, right, they were murdering live babies, right, to Baal.
Yeah.
And yeah. You know, it wasn't so much under the rug, like we're going to do this for the mom and all this. They were doing this to worship a false god, which I can't even imagine. And certainly the government was standing behind it.
Yes.
It wasn't so indifferent. Their Supreme Courts, whatever that looked like, you know, oh, this is okay. How in the world? And yet, Habakkuk, man, that's mm-hmm. so beautiful. It really is, Parker. I'm so grateful that God has given you that insight, because it is so much what the culture is seeing versus what, you know, what God's seeing. And so, Mary, back to you on that.
Yeah, I think it's really important to make that connection that not much has changed, you know, throughout history. Mm-hmm. You know, we may not be sacrificing the unborn to, you know, visible gods, images of gods that we're bowing down to, but we are sacrificing them to the gods of convenience and autonomy and many other things. But I think one thing that's so important to remember is that 1 in 4 women have experienced an abortion, so a lot of women are hurting and experiencing that regret. And that's one way we are also able to minister to women, by providing them support as they are healing after their abortion.
That's beautiful. So we'll be right back with more Kingdom Pursuits. Stay tuned.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. For decades, we've lived in this paradigm of believing that the sharing of your faith is an option, in spite of all the scriptures to the contrary. It is, in fact, your first and most important responsibility before God, and the one that opens the floodgates for God to make everything in your life work for good. Faith sharing is the least understood and most underappreciated path for opening up God's blessings for your life, as is its simplicity. Without any training or Bible memorization, you can start loving everyone every day closer to Jesus right now and experience the euphoria of knowing that God is making everything in your life work for good. If you're still standing outside of that promise, what on earth are you waiting for? Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. For help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In.
A glittery gown turns a frown upside down.
In the new movie Godmother, now streaming on Disney+, the idea of what a fairy godmother should be gets a 21st century makeover. For eons, a godmother's job has been to help a prince and a girl find love. But times have changed, and a new godmother named Eleanor is determined to change with them. Never mind that her assigned girl is actually a weary 40-something single mom. There's some drinking, a bit of profanity, and some suggestive innuendo here, plus magic, of course. But the story ultimately suggests what's most important is learning to be happy in each moment. So we're giving Godmother a 3.5 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Adam Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
There's a real economic pitfall associated with Christmas. It's spending more than we have. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. I always find it amazing that people who are normally logical thinking, deliberate, and intelligent can move along for 15 days into a fog and with little concern for restraint pop out that credit card time after time. They put that thing down, forgetting that it took up to a year to pay for the previous Christmas. But they say, nevertheless, put that on my charge again and again. We've all seen it happen. And it's a habit for some of us. My advice? Pretty simple. If you don't have it, don't spend it.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. We have today with us Parker Bradley. He's the author of the 12, it's a transformational journey through the minor prophets. The book, again, is called The 12. And Mary Holloman with the Pregnancy Network. The Pregnancy Network is, right, helping moms empower them to choose life, but also, as she pointed out, helping people that are suffering, men and women, with the choice that they might have made through abortion. And so they are using this time of year to get resources in order to help more and more people in more areas. They're looking to raise $50,000 in 2 weeks. And if 500 people will give $100, and that will essentially go to work on 42 moms and hopefully 42 babies. So, Mary, as you guys are part of this fundraiser, is everybody that gives, is it any amount they get registered to win one of these prizes that we talked about earlier?
Yes. Yeah, so from now until actually the end of this month, so through December 31st, if you give any amount, so $100, $25, $200, however much you can give, then you will be entered to win some of the really cool Pregnancy Network swag that was mentioned earlier. And so actually the way to do that is if you go to our website to the Give page and you select the Truth Network to show that you heard about it here, that's going to let us know to enter you into that drawing for that prize. And so, you know, you've mentioned the 42 moms. We get that number because it takes about $1,200 to empower one woman to choose life. So that's taking her through all of our medical services, classes, and mentorship. And so $1,200, 42 moms, that's $50,000 total. And so if we can rally together to give, that's how many moms we're looking at empowering to choose life for their unborn children.
Yeah, because you just think of the cost of the, you know, doing an ultrasound and having the staff,
right,
and having the building and having the volunteer and organizing all that. And so the cool thing from my perspective is God's been providing that. I mean, as we hear these stories of Royal and other people that, you know, it's sort of the gift that keeps on giving and giving. And so, you know, what a beautiful time of year to be thinking about what you could do along those lines. So moving on to the back to the 12, as I'm excited to hear about these guys, Parker. So
yeah,
of the 12, which one of them surprised you the most as you began to study it? Like, I didn't see this one coming. We know that Habakkuk is, and I've interviewed several people that just wrote books on Habakkuk. I mean, because,
right,
I mean, he's amazing, amazing minor prophet. I think they get the short end of the prophet stick when they're called minor, because they're all major league characters by all means. And I'll tell you, the one that just always intrigues me personally is Jonah. Like, that story about the shade tree in me, the older I get, the more I study the word, the more I find that I relate to Jonah.
Yeah.
But which one just shocked you? Like, man, I did not know.
Well, I really, until I really got into writing the book, I didn't really know how to approach Micah.
Oh.
And so it was, you know, there's some famous verses in there about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. And there's some, of course, Micah 6:8, everyone knows that, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. We know those, but it was a little bit hard for me to kind of pick up on his, I guess, rhythm and style and his focus. But I got to tell you, that guy hits him out of the park. It was really neat to dig in and study that one, because of all the 12, he may be the most, I hate using the word relevant because it's overused. But as far as culture today, Micah seems to really hit our wavelength. And that was a powerful thing for me to see. You know, he talks about in chapter 7 how culture is really turned against the ways of God to the point to where you're afraid to say what you think in public, because there might be some pushback. There might be some, you know, we think about, you know, social media today. There's some thoughts about that. There's distrust, which was kind of sown among the people, to where even in people's homes, they were afraid to share their hearts with each other, because it was politically expedient, if you want to use that word, or it was just so divisive that it was hard to trust each other. And that's something that kind of sort of you see today, but he says daughter rises up against mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, man's enemies are the men of his own home. And we see the breakdown of the home, but we see, I don't know, so many things that seem to rise up in Micah. But he ends always, when he lists these kinds of, you know, hard issues, he ends with something like this: but as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me.
And he just, in the midst of things that would bring us a lot of consternation or fear, he is always there to say, but I'm going to trust in God. And it's just a powerful thing when he says, rejoice not over me, my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. And those kind of words just fill me with strength. I don't know how to say it. I can be a real hard-headed person, and so the miners really seem to be best friends to those of us who don't always get it right the first time. But
I get it's, that.
But it's they're just so strong in times when times are at their worst. These guys are at their best.
And so, Mary, I can't help but think there's times, right? There's stories where the person doesn't make the choice you're hoping for, and and where do you guys find hope when you're actually seeing this first place? Like, man, this lady, she made this choice, and it's got to break your heart.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important thing to address. You know, I mentioned before this kind of startling number that one in four women, by the time, you know, they're in their 40s, will have chosen an abortion. So that's the woman you're behind in the grocery store. That's the woman next to you in church. So many women are impacted. And actually, just this week, we did have a woman who did choose an abortion in Greensboro. But I think the crucial thing is that after her abortion, she experienced such sorrow and regret, and the first phone call she made was to us. She called us back and said, I made a mistake. Can you help me? And so we were able to connect her with one of our volunteers who also had chosen an abortion in her past. And so now they're working together to move forward in healing. And I think that when women are making these decisions, they need to feel safe enough to come not just to a pregnancy center, but to the church and to, you know, those of us who are Christians, so that they can experience that forgiveness and redemption. Because the reality is so many women are just hurting, and fathers are hurting because of those choices that they've made. And it's something that sticks with you for a life. I mean, we've had women call us who have said, 30 years ago, I had an abortion and I just can't move forward. Can you help me? And so that's, you know, that's the message of Jesus Christ. He provides healing when in those moments where we've made decisions or mistakes or we feel like we can't come back from them. But that's why he came. And, you know, when you look at the story of the birth of Christ, the fact that God chose to use an unborn child to bring about salvation for the entire world, that itself shows us how important these mothers are, because he valued a young mother enough.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Put her in a position to carry.
Well, hey, we got to go to a break, but we do. We have one more segment of Kingdom Pursuit, so stay tuned. We have more on the Minor Prophet. Boy, I wish we could talk about to both these folks for another three segments, but we got one more, so stay tuned.
Okay, man, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. Cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Show the world that you're tougher than tough. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Billy Graham.
Today, our imaginations go back 2,000 years to that first Christmas when the world experienced three phenomena. First, there was the star. Second, there was a new song in the air. And thirdly, there was good news.
The star, the song, and the good news were all about Jesus. The Savior of the world was born on that first Christmas morning.
God incarnate, heaven and earth joined together, God and man reconciled, hope for the hopeless, pardon for the guilty, peace for those who know no peace, good news for those who have had nothing but bad news. The good news that at last a Savior had come to save men from sin.
Do you know Jesus? Learn more at findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Do you find the news confusing?
Do you wonder who you can trust? Then Breakpoint This Week is designed for you. I'm Shane Morris with the Colson Center for Christian Worldview. Join me and my Colson Center colleague, John Stonestreet, every week right here on this station for a half-hour discussion of the news you care about, looked at through a biblical worldview lens. That's Breakpoint This Week, a half hour of clarity, conviction, and compassion to help you sort out a chaotic and confusing world.
Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And right now I have my good friend Amy Cabo with us, who is the host of The Cure. Her show comes on today at 1 o'clock. And Amy, I got to tell you, I am totally jealous because you get to interview T.C. Stallings, right, on this movie about PTSD. Am I Your Brother's
that
Keeper?
Is good.
You know, I got to interview him in person one time when he was in the movie War Room, and he is such a neat believer. I mean, this man loves Christ, and God's given him, you know, a platform that's unbelievable. And I know that you're going to have a great time today at 1. And guess what, listeners? You can call in and actually talk to TC yourself, which I can tell you, he's got quite a story, doesn't he, Amy?
Oh, yes, he does. And I want to say that what an amazing show you have, Robbie. What a great service you're doing for others. It's really important what you're doing. That's awesome. But today we will speak to T.C. Stallings and from T.Y. Mann Productions, also the screenwriter. And we're going to address the movie, Our Brother's Keeper. Are We Our Brother's Keeper is the name of the show. A great time to examine that kind of conscience in today's world. And it's a great movie. It's a great story behind the movie and describes what many of us are experiencing, that is PTSD, especially in the times of these COVID areas and crazy times.
Yeah, and or people that have gone through an abortion or near abortion, right? I mean, talk about trauma. I mean, it's life and death right there. And I, you know, it's real life stuff. And so God bless you, Amy, for what you do.
I'm still feeling it over 20 years ago. You never forget.
I know.
That's the truth.
I know. God bless you, Amy. Thank you so much for what you do. And you guys tune in at 1 o'clock today, Eastern, on the Truth Network. Thank you.
And God bless you. Have a beautiful day.
You too. Bye-bye. So, again, our other two guests today, Mary Holloman with the Pregnancy Network. They're out to raise $50,000 in 2 weeks. And Peter Parker. You think Peter Parker. So have you ever been related
to Spider-Man?
Right. Parker Bradley. It's like Spider-Man because he's the author of The 12. And, you know, he's got to cover a lot of ground, the transformational journey through the minor prophets. And, you know, God really, he packs a punch through these minor prophets, and I can't help but think about the very end of the minor prophets, where it says, and God's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children,
mm-hmm.
and the children of their father to their fathers, and you know, that's the prophecy of John the Baptist, essentially Christ coming. There's so much in that particular prophecy. What might you add to that for us, Parker? Because it's one of my favorite passages.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the really great things about the minor prophets and the prophets in general is, yes, they call balls and strikes. Yep, they do call it like they see it, and the Lord speaks powerfully through them, but it is always for the purpose of restoration in Christ. They're always looking forward to the Redeemer. They're always looking forward to Jesus, and in Christ, the restoration that the prophets long for, that we long for, is found fully in him. And so when Malachi ends, some of the last verses of the Old Testament are what you just said. I think it's Luke chapter 4, I think, but it's at the very beginning of the gospel, is the angel's announcement to Mary, or the angel's announcement, I think
to Zechariah, right?
Make sure I'm saying it to Zechariah. That's correct.
the angel's announcement is, in fact, Malachi's words. And what you've been longing for 400 years, what you've been longing for is hearts turning, father to son, the restoration, redemption, those kind of things are finally coming to be. The Messiah is here, the Redeemer is here. And that's what the sweep of the Minor Prophets is to be very clear about the brokenness that we live in, but always to looking full-faced to our Redeemer who restores.
That's beautiful. Well, Mary, I only have a couple more minutes, but I wanted you to have time to share what you didn't get a chance to share yet.
Sure. I think one thing, you know, we talk about, you know, raising money to empower women. And I think sometimes people have that question, you know, what can I possibly do to be a drop in the water of this issue of abortion? And I would say, you know, if you are looking for a way to empower women to do something practical and make a difference, 100% giving financially, giving of your treasure, it will impact women. It will impact future generations. And just one practical way to think about that is that for 35 years, we've been able to offer these services to women for free. If a woman wants to get an ultrasound from an abortion facility, it's going to cost her at least $200 or $300. And so women are coming to us because they know they can get that care for free and be fully informed. And so I would say if you know that your gift can do that for a woman, you know, don't wait, give and empower that woman to face her unconscious pregnancy without fear.
That is so awesome. Well, Parker, thank you. Mary, thank you so much. Such a wonderful show today. I really, really loved it. God bless you guys. Keep up the great work. And have a Merry Christmas, by all means.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and oh, man, what I got to tell you, this encouraging prayer coming up with James Banks is really awesome, followed by Masculine Journey at 12. There's so much truth coming at you on the Truth Network. Stay tuned.
This is the Truth Network.